Shepherd's Can-Can. Over 50 years of endless deals.
Now, Shepherd's does the Can-Can. Selling lots on brands on everything in cans.
Today is great to save some cash. So come to Shepherd's Can-Can.
Can-Can. You save much more on every brand.
Can-Can.
Find endless deals at ShopRite's Can-Can sale. Going on now. You can't miss it.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Term supply.
I want to see Jar Jar beat the out of somebody.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Star Wars Explained Weekly Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Molly.
And we're here to talk about Star Wars and a little bit about Avatar.
Yay.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Because I have been feeling the urge to talk about it. I didn't want to take over an entire Star Wars Explained video, even though there's like some Star Wars connections to Avatar.
We're not claiming to be Avatar Explained.
No. But, you know, we have the Dave Filoni connection.
Zuko is Ben Solo.
That's true. I mean,
slash Kylo Ren.
Zuko is one of my favorite fictional characters. I think he's fantastic. If you've never watched it, go watch the cartoon. If you were interested in the live action version, we did a discussion about it. We're putting that out on Patreon because it, with Bad Batch and everything else going on, I just don't feel like I have the time to do a full on video about Avatar. But I did want to talk about the live action version, what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it. How great Zuko and Iroh are in it. And not just because we love Paul Sun Young Lee as Carson.
That helps.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
But
yeah.
He does do a great job in the show.
We liked the show.
Yeah. So
spoilers.
That's out on our
for our Patreon talk. We liked it.
But we did like it.
We have some concerns too.
I think that people are treating it more harshly than it deserves.
Sure.
For what it was. But I also wanted to point out that Aang is earthbending because we I have had several requests to have geode in the middle here, and we did put a literal brick from outside on our table.
Still have it in here.
I know. I never took it back outside. It's just sitting over there. But I did make an order to Q&A props because they have a three set geode. One of them is a bookend, and then there's like the black series and the 6-inch size. We have so many little geodes now.
Look how little. This is going to be like dominoes if I put it back. Okay. Oh, okay. So wait, you said Aang can earthbend geode? Is that allowed?
I don't know. I don't know if it's probably not a good idea to earthbend a person.
That's bloodbending.
Ooh.
Don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't do that, Aang. Don't do that. What did we get up to this past week, and what were our...
Well, you were gone, so I had to survive all by my lonesome here alone.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Don't say nothing. You watched Love is Blind Sweden.
That's
know what
true.
You did.
I want to normalize having a nothing weekend, like having just a very chill, relaxed recuperation moment. So yeah, I relaxed a lot over the weekend. I did watch the Swedish Love is Blind, which was delightful. I needed my Love is Blind fix, and I was waiting for you to get back to watch the newer episodes. So,
well, yeah, I was gone for a bachelor party, and my friends, they're a bunch of nerds, and all on their own, they decided they wanted to watch Jedi Party from the Arlnauts. So we watched all three of the prequel episodes, and I was bragging, and I was like messaging Arlnauts while we were watching it. One of my friends was very jealous.
Did they love it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of them had seen it before.
Oh, okay.
I think one or two people are Star Wars fans, and they were like, I don't even know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
So Jedi Party's great.
Yeah.
It's super silly.
Thursday night, I went on Triad of the Force to talk about the big Bad Batch premiere episodes, which was fun. Always love hanging out with Goose and Nani.
Love Triad.
Yeah.
And then I was going to shout out this cool shirt that we were sent from Beyond the Gift Shop, which I just really like this shirt. like almost, a minimalistic crawl.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Morse code, but I know it's just...
It is Morse code, and it spells out, it is a period of civil war.
Is it?
No.
I was like, wait, there would be so many more lines. I forgot to put mine on, but I got one too, and I'll wear it next time.
But let's get into some questions. Our first one is from Elo Asti, who asks, what is Ahmed Best up to at Activision? You saw this the other night and shared it, and we all got very excited.
I'm going to go on and read all the hashtags that he put on this post.
Yeah, so he shared an image of him on Instagram. He was in a mocap suit, and he said something like, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. And then he included several...
Hashtag mocap, hashtag Star Wars, hashtag Jar Jar Binks, hashtag Activision, ding, 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 hashtag Jedi, hashtag Sith Lord, hashtag Kelleran Beck.
So, yeah, what's going on here?
So, I will say he, in a lot of his posts, he does things like hashtag Jedi, hashtag Kelleran Beck. Some of them are like a little more vague, but he's been known to put a lot of hashtags in his posts before, but these seemed just too good to ignore for the fans.
I'm gonna...
The fact that Jar Jar and Sith Lord were both in there sent people crazy.
Well, he has definitely had fun with that in the past. You know, when the Darth Jar Jar theory came out, he was very like, I don't know, could be, but... There definitely was supposed to be more with Jar Jar. I had talks with George Lucas about it, but I, right now, am holding back on any expectations. I think he is just throwing out hashtags that he is connected to.
Mm-hmm.
Jar Jar and Kelleran Beck, both him, obviously, but I don't think he's playing both characters at the same time in an Activision game.
Right.
Although I do wish that Activision made Tony Hawk Pro Skater and our thumbnail creator Brian Ward made an amazing box art for Jar Jar Binks Pro Skater.
Oh.
So I'm like, I would play the hell out of that. And yeah. Now that I think about it, Darth Maul was an unlockable character in one of the Tony Hawk games.
Was he really?
So
which one? Let's play it.
Three maybe? I think
I know
Spider-Man was the unlockable in two.
I think I only played one and two, and I was garbage at it, but I did like playing it still.
So
great soundtrack.
Maybe Activision is bringing back Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and Jar Jar will be an unlockable character.
Well, as soon as I saw this post, I immediately Googled Activision to see what kind of games they did and what they might be working on, and it was like Call of Duty, and I was like, no. And then I saw Rock Band and Guitar Hero and got super excited. I was like, what if Jar Jar is going to be in like a Star Wars Rock Band? We could get the Max Rebo Band, The game or something stupid. I don't know. I was like, I loved playing those games years ago, and I think they should bring them back.
Look, LucasArts used to just put out a lot of wild games, and I think it's time to bring that back. Don't worry about whether or not Max Rebo Rock Band is canon. Let's just get it. Let's get a big, you have to buy the whole red ball organ.
Yeah.
And you have to sit there and play it with your feet. Mm-hmm. But it's a very expensive accessory.
Would you rather see, whatever video game this is, would you rather see it be Jar Jar or Kelleran Beck?
Jar Jar.
I think so too. I love
Kelleran Beck to death.
Yeah, I do too.
But it being the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace, also people are ready.
Yeah.
People are ready to actually have Jar Jar back in something and celebrate him. I think he would be welcomed back, the character specifically. We already know Ahmed Best would be welcomed, but I think people would welcome the character back now too.
And, you know, you pointed out that he already knows martial arts. Mm-hmm. So, like, he could do all of his own mocap stuff and maybe it's a fighting game.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're making me think
I want to see Jar Jar beat the out of somebody.
Again, Soul Calibur 4, I want to say. One of the Soul Calibur games had Yoda and Darth Vader in it.
So, I am learning so many new things today.
That's Star Wars used to be a little more loosey-goosey with what it let other video games do. So, yeah, maybe Jar Jar is going to be in a fighting game. Basically like Drunken Master style.
Yeah.
Maybe they're making a new Terrace Kasi.
Ooh, please.
But I think for now, I think that it's probably not related to Star Wars. I think he is doing mocap for another project. He's excited about it. He wanted to share it. Because I kind of just don't think Lucasfilm would let him put all those...
Because when I read the title that he put, or the caption, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. That does sound like his relationship with Star Wars. Like, he was out and came back, and he was out and he came back.
He already came back with Keller and Beck, though.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, the mocap, yeah, they pulled me back into the mocap suit, maybe. But
I don't know.
I don't know either.
People were, like, looking at the dots on his face, like, oh, it could be this, it could be this. I was just like, I don't know what this means, but whatever it is, I'm excited for it.
Like, you have sold me more on, I want it to be Jar Jar in a random fighting game. Like, mm-hmm. Put him in Street Fighter 8 or whatever. Is.
Yeah. Let's get a new Tekken game, and instead of Eddie Gordo,
it's just Jar Jar flailing around. Yeah.
It totally works.
I wanted to put that in there so we could have a little bit of fun talking about video games, and now we're going to bring the mood down and talk about how EA just laid off 670 of its employees, which absolutely sucks. And that's coming off the heels of Sony laying off 900 employees. Also, Microsoft earlier this year laid off a bunch, and they own Activision. So All this is connected. All just the video game industry seems like it's in all kinds of turmoil right now, and it sucks.
Yeah.
And like, we know so many people in the industry now that I'm stressed out for them. I know they're far more stressed out, but wanted to talk about that. Obviously, it affects us as Star Wars fans as well, because they announced that they are not doing that first-person shooter game.
Yeah, that was so quick.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even really officially announced. No. It was just the rumor came out, IGN covered it.
It was officially announced that there was a first-person shooter Star Wars game from Respawn.
Okay.
And then IGN, or not, I can't remember who it was, but...
Insider Gaming.
Yeah,
not IGN.
They put out that it was going to be centered around a Mandalorian. So we have known about the first-person shooter game from Respawn for a while.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
But they said that that was last week.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
A week ago.
What is time?
And they shifted away from that, and their Star Wars Jedi 3 is still in development, but I would also expect, they didn't say anything about this, but there was supposed to be a real-time strategy game from Respawn and development as well.
Mm.
I'm going to guess that is no longer happening either.
Yeah, they're probably pulling back on everything except Jedi 3.
Star Wars gaming has been in a frustrating place for a while now. This just seems like another thing to add to the pile. But in general, I more wanted to just air some grievances about the video game industry, and not the developers, but the corporations that run them. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just video games. It's like Warner Brothers and the way that they're handling all these movies that they're just like throwing away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all for tax write-offs and to line their own pockets. And I immediately thought of Nintendo when the Wii U came out and it did not do well. To avoid layoffs, the CEO, Iwata, cut his salary by 50%.
Yeah, a lot of people were kind of bringing that up recently.
And from what I understand, that's a normalized practice in Japan. It's not over here. Like, I would...
Culturally, yeah, I can see that.
Where, I mean, like, it makes sense. You are the head of the company.
Mm.
And if the company's not doing well, like, I just don't think Andrew Wilson is going to be affected by these layoffs. I would really love to see how his salary is affected by all of these decisions that they're making.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a lot.
I think he made 20 million. Oh, I wrote it down. He made $20.7 million in 2023.
Mm.
Come on.
That's so much money
for
one CEO to have. I do want to play devil's advocate a little bit, though, because for Nintendo to do that, so they did that with after the Nintendo Wii, or no.
The Wii U.
The Wii U kind of bombed, but they knew they were going to have the Switch out after that.
I don't know.
Or they figured, it's Nintendo. Like, everything they do, for the most part, is perfection and gold. And so I can
They go up and down.
I can see the CEO choosing to take that cut, knowing that the next big thing that they put out will be a banger.
Well, yeah, but to me, what that says is I know what we have in the pipeline, and I know who I need to make it, who I value, and I need these workers.
Yeah.
And so I will value them. I will take a cut. Whereas in the video game industry, or at least in America, it seems like, these companies keep buying smaller studios, and they're like, wow, you made a great game. We're cutting half of your staff.
Yeah.
And it's like, ridiculous. Now you can't make the same game again.
I blame AI.
I mean, this has been happening before that, but
yeah,
it's certainly probably...
It's only getting worse, and I feel like, especially after learning so much about how much AI was a factor in the strikes that just happened, the video game industry is sweating. So I feel like they're probably trying to have like a big change up. Somehow AI, I think, is involved.
I wouldn't be surprised about that at all, because I'm sure there are some CEOs that are like, oh, I can just type into an AI Chat generator, GBT. Like, make me a Star Wars game.
Sure.
And they'll be like, there, but slap the Star Wars label on it. We didn't have to pay a single programmer. Boom. Like, let's sell it. And it'll terrible. Be terrible.
Terrible. What is happening with leadership in general in America? It's just going in the toilet.
Yeah. I can't remember the figures now, but
all CEOs are garbage.
I saw
right now.
Some graph of, like, how much a CEO makes compared to their average worker and how it has skyrocketed over the past 60 years. Mm-hmm. I think it started in 65 and it's just like this boom graph.
Yeah. I remember recently something came out about Bob Iger taking a big pay cut, not voluntarily, that just happened. And
I don't know when that was, because all I remember is last year him talking about how the strikers were being unreasonable while he was at billionaire boy camp or whatever.
I wouldn't say it was a pay cut. He just lost money. He wasn't making as much. And people were like, look at how much less money Bob Iger has made. And it's like, boo.
Ever is he going to do? Well, you're going to have to. You're just making more work for yourself.
Boo freaking who? Let me put that gif up of me crying with my dollar bills, $100 bills.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm getting riled up.
I'm getting all riled up. I don't really have much more to say about this. I have no solutions to offer because I don't really know the industry that well, but just wanted to express our frustrations and our feelings for the developers who are affected by this, especially the ones who have been laid off. But I know it's a stressful time for anyone in the video game industry now.
We've worked closely with EA in the past, and we know people close to Respawn and DICE, and it just sucks to hear news like this.
Yeah. I mean, those are the like relationships that we have formed, or the people at those developers, the companies under EA that are being affected by all this,
right?
And it sucks. And it's not just we're talking about EA because that's the more Star Wars centric, but also everyone that was at Sony, like they laid off people at Insomniac and Naughty Dog, and like people who make games that I love and adore.
Didn't you say that right after they got done talking about how great the Spider-Man game was when they were like, by the way, we're doing a bunch of layoffs?
I don't know the exact timeline, but it seemed like they were like, Spider-Man was the best-selling video game of the PlayStation, we're doing so good, we're firing 900 of you. Like, that crazy. That's how it came across. Anyway, we're gonna shift back over to some happier news. This is an official news, but in lieu of anything else, Collider over this past week reported that The Acolyte potentially has its release date. It's sounding like June 5th. Collider is someone that I would consider, like, they have their sources. It's not some random website.
Yeah.
Again, it's not official news, but everyone's been kind of thinking it would be a summer series.
So a big it just feels like the big summer blockbuster for Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's a show. I'm still calling it a blockbuster.
I mean, it feels like it for me. I'm very excited about it. We have also heard that Skeleton Crew was going to get pushed to, like, the holiday season. Mm. I'm still kind of thinking that that might be centered around Life Day. Like, I wonder if there's a reason that they're,
centered,
like,
around it, or it just happens to be, like, one of the episodes might be Life Day.
Well, you know how
adjacent,
like, E.T. is a Halloween movie at points. Mm-hmm. Like, just a lot of these movies about family,
yeah,
about kids, it's like, oh, the kids are missing and it's almost Life Day.
Like, oh no.
I'm just wondering if there's going to be some holiday central to that series and there's a reason that they pushed it an entire year instead of a few months. I'm getting off topic.
I hope you're right, honestly. if it gives us another reason to pull out our Life Day robes, then yeah, let's do it.
But The Acolyte, June, maybe? And if that's true, then I'm wondering if we could start getting some marketing. Actually, we did kind of start getting some marketing because Amandla just did an interview,
mm-hmm,
and started talking about it. So I do think they're starting to ramp up.
Yeah. I'm so stoked to get live action High Republic. Like, the trailer that we got to see at Celebration for The Acolyte was incredible. Like, some of the best looking choreographed stuff, like not just the fights, but the cinematography and stuff looked so good for this show. And it's got some really cool people in it.
The cast looks great. The fighting looked great. I was also impressed that, you know, a lot of people talking about Andor, they were like, love the tone, wish it were just a little pulpier. This feels like they may have nailed, mm-hmm, that, because there were a ton of aliens in it. It was weird,
ton
but
of Jedi.
It was still, yeah, ton of Jedi, ton of aliens, weird locations. It still felt like just tense.
Yeah.
So I think they might have really found a good balance between serious and pulpy.
I'm so ready to get a Jedi focused live action show for Star Wars that doesn't have all the baggage of, like, are we going to do this character justice? Because, like, no one knows any of these characters yet. I'm so ready for something brand new and fresh.
High Republic fans are probably going to be like that, but I think they're going to be more chill about it.
Well, I mean,
like, I don't think people are going to be freaking out about Vernestra Rowe as much as...
Okay, she's the only one confirmed to be in this that we know of from the books that could have potential baggage.
Yeah.
And expectations.
Like, I'm a little bit, like, just in the era itself, I'm like, are they going to do it justice? But, you know, it's set apart enough from the books that things will have changed. So it doesn't have to be a one-for-one translation. There will be, mm-hmm, reasons why it's a little different.
Yeah.
Even Vernestra, if she's different, it's been a couple hundred years. So
yeah,
she's been through more stuff.
Yeah.
But, I'm just so excited to get away from the Skywalker saga. Like, it's crazy.
Baggage.
Yeah, baggage. It's true. This is just going to feel freeing. The same way that reading The High Republic for the first time did, of like, this is set up, I'm meeting all these new characters, mm-hmm, and I don't know anything else about them. It just kind of opens you up to be more flexibly minded.
It's such a breath of fresh air, or I assume it will be, you know, just seeing the trailer and reading about what it's going to be about, it just seems like it's going to be a breath of fresh air for everyone.
So yeah, I'm really hopeful that we start getting trailers soon. If they want to, I mean, I think they need to start ramping up because it is outside of the Skywalkers and it's going to be so unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be like, look, there's lightsabers, but it's also different. So if you wanted to start on March 4th, Star Wars, it's my birthday.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind. That's 2 months beforehand.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
I think they will.
3 months? 3 months beforehand.
I think they will put something out before Bad Batch is totally over.
I think so.
Because if they wait till it's over, it'll be what? That'll be May 4th.
Like, it would make a lot of sense to put a trailer out on May 4th.
Maybe the final trailer comes out on
right.
May 4th.
Right. I think that only 1 month of marketing is not enough. I think they should... I bet 2 months makes more sense. I feel like that's when the first trailer for The Mandalorian came out, the very first one. I think it was about 2 months beforehand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's start. Let's give it a good 8 weeks. Put out a lot of TV spots and little trailers. I'm ready.
Let's do it.
I'm so excited. Still keeping with live action, Caleb Diaz asks how we feel about Mando and Grogu shooting exclusively in Los Angeles. That came out this past week.
Not surprised.
Yeah, not surprised at all.
They're trying to do this low budget, quick, let's get a movie out, let's shoot it.
They said
basically
they...
like we shoot the show.
they got the biggest tax credit that LA's given out or something like that. But yeah, this is basically what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting them to go around the world and shoot on location.
This is going to be like an extra long episode of the show. I would not get your expectations up for anything more than that. Pedro's not going to be in it.
You don't think so?
No.
I can't decide. Like, I hope that he's in it, but he's shooting The Last of Us right now, I think. He's got Fantastic Four on the way.
I love
Pedro. But he only needs to be there for like a day.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm going into it assuming he's not in it. So that if he is, I'm like, yay, great.
Yeah. Cool. You don't care. You've got what you want. He's in the title. The star is already there.
My bebé.
Your bebé will be there no matter what.
That's true. No, I would love to see Pedro's face as Din again at some point. I just don't think we're getting it for this movie. Not with how season three ended. We're nowhere close to him being like, you know what, I'm actually just gonna keep it off.
Yeah, and like, it kind of would be strange at this point if he's like, you know what, forget the end of season three, I'm popping this off whenever I feel like it. There needs to be like another good reason for him to do it.
But... and let's normalize praising the actors in the suit just as much as we would give Pedro praise, because right now they are Din. Yeah. They are the Mandalorian. Like, that's who we're seeing in the show. And like, I don't understand I don't understand people getting so upset that Pedro's not in it, because it's like the same character.
Yeah. We've only seen his face 3 times. Yeah. It's probably wise to just expect that he won't show up, so that if it happens, we can all be excited that all 3 people who play Din were there. But
we might see it in like a brief vignette, catch up clips kind of thing at the very start, so then we can all say, hey, there's Pedro. Yeah. Remember him?
I do kind of think it'll happen, but I'm not going to be upset or surprised if it doesn't. I'll be happy to have Brendan Wayne and Lateef Crowder kicking ass all around the galaxy, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, whatever. The story, for me, does not matter at this point.
I think I'm over my initial thoughts of, like, is this big enough for the next Star Wars movie? I'm like, I'm ready to see a Star Wars movie in the theater.
It's gonna be like...
it'll be a fun time.
Yeah, it's a space cowboy and baby adventure.
It's like, we know basically what we're gonna get. I do think it'll be on a bigger scale, and knowing what Jon Favreau gave us with the Cobb Vanth episode, I'm like, if they can do something like that and even bigger, great.
Yep.
Like, I do think that maybe the stakes need to be bigger than a crate dragon, pun intended. But
honestly, if it is kind of a smaller scale story, that could be nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's all going to be shot in California. It's a lower budget, which I would hope a 1.5 hour, 2 hour movie would be lower budget than a 8 episode TV show, you know.
I'll say this. I hope they don't go back to Tython or Mapuzo.
The ones that obviously look like side of the highway, California.
Yeah.
They probably will.
It's like, it can be done, you know. The Andor on Aldani was just outside on a hill, and it's like, that worked. It's just that
also Aldani was in Scotland, wasn't it?
Right. That's why it works, I think, for us, because we're like, oh wow, what an exotic location. And maybe people in England see Mapuzo or Tython and they're like, wow, how exotic.
What's that, a cactus?
Maybe they were very bored by Aldani. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, I would rather see some more exciting planets.
Sure. They got the volume. I mean, there's endless possibilities with that thing.
And I, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But in the case of The Mandalorian, I think it mostly works.
And it's just getting better and better. Yeah.
Going over to the Bad Batch for a little bit, Garrett McDowell asks, why Emery Carr has a last name? Is she the only clone that has a last name?
Why is she Emery Carr?
I wonder if just someone named her. Maybe it was supposed to be to keep her a secret. Like, it was, people suspected she might be a clone at the end of season two. But maybe Hemlock was keeping her around and he's like, I'm just going to give you a full name so no one knows.
Do you think Hemlock raised her? Do you think she has the age accelerating?
Kind of. Yeah, I do think that she is like a reg where Omega did not have the age acceleration, but she did. So I think she is probably the same age as most other clones.
If that's true, I think Hemlock or whoever were her like main caretakers as she was growing up and learning and stuff, like I guess they would give her a normal name, like a first and last name.
Like, Hemlock's the kind of person that I don't think he might have called her CT0001, but if he's taking her around to these random installations, then he might want to be like, you're Dr. Carr.
Yeah.
And
right,
this is not a clone. Like, no one pay attention to her. I wonder if she's like the dark side version of Omega. Like, Nala Se had Omega and seems to really care for her. And I feel like maybe, yeah, Hemlock kept her around. And like, my theory is that she tried to escape and failed, maybe failed several times. And that's why she thinks it's so hopeless and keeps telling Omega, like, just keep your head down, follow the rules, you'll be fine.
Yeah. That would be really sad.
Yeah. But I there's hope for her to be better. Like, she has humanity in her. I think that we're going to find out more about her and she will be saved with the other clones.
I do like the idea that they would give her a normal sounding name so that she seemed like nothing special.
I guess it just depends on where she was raised, what she was doing. There's so much surrounding her that we don't know. So all we can do is speculate.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if the Emperor, let's say, hears that a clone is in charge of this, that, or the other, it might raise some alarm in him. And so maybe they gave her a normal name to just be like, she's a normal, loyal Imperial scientist.
Yeah. So maybe she is like a secret. Maybe Hemlock doesn't even want the Emperor to know he's got this little clone experiment on the side or something.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, yeah, I think much like Palpatine, Hemlock has a lot of plans that he's trying to control all at once. And maybe Emery is one of his plans.
We see all the time, especially in the books and comics, that there are always Imperials that are like, I can do better than Palpatine. I'm going to take over Palpatine. It's not just the Sith. It's like Imperials doing it too. So Hemlock, I think we saw he has ambitions to become like head science boy or whatever he said to Palpatine. And I think that's just step one to rising even further. So he probably does have his own ambitions.
Yeah.
But that's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to leave a question for next week's video, just put it in the comments below or sign up for Patreon to join our weekly Q&A discussion. If you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the channel.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky.
And as always, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.